I want to talk to you this morning about a marriage. And the marriage I have in mind is not my marriage or your marriage. Neither is it the institution of marriage. What I want to talk about is Jesus Christ's love for His bride, the church. I want to talk about His devotion and His sacrifice for what is the passion of His heart. And I want to argue that if the church means this much to Jesus, it ought to mean that much to you and me. And I want to begin by asking you a very serious question. Are you married or are you just dating Jesus? You see, dating is a kind of a trial period in a relationship where your commitment is tentative and you keep your options open. Marriage is a covenant relationship. It's a covenant relationship of devotion and sacrifice and joy. In marriage, you burn the bridges. There's no turning back. And you only have eyes for your partner. And so I ask you again, are you married to Jesus? Are you fully devoted, making sacrificial investments of time and money and energy? Or are you just dating? Partially involved, maintaining enough detachment so that if it doesn't work out the way you want, you can just walk away without obligation. How you answer that question will reveal whether you've nailed down the last truth in this bedrock to build on. We've looked at the Lord is God. The Bible is God's word to us. We're sinners who need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. Salvation is a gift that we receive from God, not something that we work for ourselves. And we need a personal commitment to a local church. It is vital to have a strong, growing relationship with the people of God, where you can encourage each other in Christ, pray for one another, and bear each other's burdens, and intervene when you see a brother or sister slipping into a sinful pattern. How important is this issue? Well, statistically, one out of four church attendees are considered church shoppers with no real devotion to any particular local church. An estimated 15 to 20 million Americans say that they are Christians but don't want to be a part of the church or a church. Around 80% of American evangelical churches are either plateaued or declining. When asked, people give the standard answers. Church is irrelevant. Church is boring. Church is full of hypocrites. Church is just after my money. And then there are some who will say that they've been hurt by the church. Open your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And let's look beyond the secondary application that's given to husbands and wives and look to the primary application of Jesus in the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This passage has been used for husband and wife relationships, and it should be. But that's the secondary application of it. the primary application, as Paul says in that verse 32, he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. And there are two analogies that are presented in this passage. Both of them emphasize to us the importance of being personally committed to a local gathering of believers. The first is that the church is the wife of Jesus. The whole context of this passage about marriage has at its foundation this model of Christ's passion for his bride. Jesus loved the church. Jesus wholeheartedly, unconditionally loves the church. There's no doubt, there's no question. You see, the church is made up of those who have been called out by the Holy Spirit to salvation. The church is you and me. And it's every believer in every place around this world who have put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And so when you read that Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, guess what? He's talking about you. He's talking about you. Jesus Christ, he loves you. And he gave himself for you. He sacrificed himself for your benefit. The Greek word for love that Paul uses immediately takes us to the cross. It's the word agape, which refers to the totally unselfish, unconditional sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sake. His love for us never weakens. A little while ago, we shared the Lord's Supper. A piece of bread and a cup of juice to remember that love that he has for his bride. That's why we did it. We go back and remember the love that God had for us that sent Jesus Christ. His broken body and his shed blood are the measure of just how far he's willing to go for us. And that's all the way to the death on the cross. And his love for the church moved him also to make her holy, cleansing her. It says in the washing of water by the word. And that emphasizes our complete forgiveness, our justification, and his patient work in making us holy like himself. I always like that song, He's Still Working on Me. Took him just a week to make the moon, the stars, Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me. All it took him was 1 week to create everything that we have in this physical creation. The whole universe and all of its vastness. And yet he's been working on me for the last 30 years. I don't know how long he's been working on you. That's the devotion. That's the love. That's the concern that Jesus has for us. That he's willing to just work on our life, making us holy, just like he's holy. Jesus Christ is totally committed to the church. He is totally committed to you, totally committed to me. And let me tell you a spiritual reality of this relationship. The more we become like Jesus, the more we love what he loves. And you know what he loves? He loves the church. So the more we become like Jesus, and the more we love Jesus, the more we should love other Christians. If you're going to be like Jesus, you can't just date anymore. And if you're committed to the church as Jesus Christ is, then well, you won't be irritated by the imperfections of a group of imperfect people who get gathered together. Did you hear me? If you're going to be committed to the church as Jesus Christ is, then you won't be irritated by the imperfections of a group of imperfect people who gather together. If you're committed, you'll just realize that it has its flaws, but it's what Jesus died for. The church is the wife of Jesus, but also the church is the body of Christ. In verse 30, Paul changes the picture from the church being the wife of Christ to the church being the body of Christ. And why does he change the imagery? Why does he do that? The picture of a bride tells us about the deep devotion and the love of Jesus Christ for us as the church. The picture of a body reminds us that we have a ministry assignment to fulfill as the church. As his bride, it's how much he loves us. It expresses that love and his concern and his work in making us into the kind of bride that he wants. But when we talk about the body of Christ, it moves to our responsibility, our calling, our assignment, our ministry as the church. When Jesus bodily walked this earth, he moved from place to place in a very small geographical area. And he was doing the will of the Father. And he was securing the salvation of everyone who believes. Having ascended back to heaven, Jesus still moves from place to place. Only now, he does it on a global scale. Because it's not just him and a few that he's working with. It's every believer indwelled by the Holy Spirit. How does he do that? Well, he does all that work through Christians. He does it through us. We're his body. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Like the fingers and toes, like the eyes and elbows of your physical body, you're a part of Jesus Christ's body on earth, which is the church. And just like the various parts of your body, they all have a specific function in relation to your body, so you have a specific function in Christ's body. There's no unimportant member of the church. Each of us has a function to fulfill for the good of the whole body. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes, "The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So we say that every part of the body works to help the rest of the body. And as that happens, the body grows and fulfills exactly what God intends it to fulfill. Paul goes into great detail with that analogy in his letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 14, down to verse 21, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Let's say for the sake of illustration that when God saved you, he made you a hand in the body. You have to get the service that is meant to minister to the rest of the body by assisting and fixing and working. So what happens if you say, "I love you, Jesus, but I don't want to be part of the church"? That's like saying, "Jesus, I love you, but I don't want to be a part of your body, so I'm cutting off your hand from your body. But hey, I really do love you." I mean, how would it work out if your physical body parts organized a little mutiny? As your big toe, let me just say that I am sick and tired of working with these other toes. They're all lazy. I do most of the work, and they still get treated as equals. I'm going to take a break. You don't really need me anyway. Imagine what would happen. As a Christian, you have an assignment to fulfill in the body of Christ. he needs every member of his body in on what he's doing. When you're only casually committed, the rest of the body is weakened. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. In that passage, God calls us to a completely different value system when it comes to the church. He says in verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We're called to have a purpose when we spend time with one another. We're called to stir up love in each other's lives. We're called to exhort one another. We're called to pay attention and have concern for one another. And he follows that up by saying that we need to make sure that we gather together, because we need to do that. And not only do we need to do that, we need to do it more today because of the day that we live in. As we see the day approaching isn't last night waiting for the sun to come up today. That's not the day approaching. The day approaching is the return of Christ. It's the end of... As we get closer and closer to that, as this world becomes more and more evil and more used by the enemy, we need to even more be gathered together. We need to even more be ministering and being concerned for one another, exhorting one another, stirring up love and good works. We need to be committed. For this church to be all that God wants it to be, each member needs to be working. Each member needs to be connected. Each member needs to be participating. Each member needs to be sharing the burdens. Each member needs to be experiencing the joys together. Brian Habrig and Les Newsom, in their book, The Enduring Community, wrote, "The church is a body, and I am either a productive member of that organism, or I am actively contributing to its dismemberment."